Hi, I'm Broderick. Nice to meet everybody. Broderick Kelly. So I was born in St. Catharines. I am currently 26. Wow, that's tough to say. I'm getting old. But yeah, September 1st, 1995, currently 26 years old.
Did you play hockey in St. Catharines growing up as a kid?
Yeah, so I played in the St. Catharines Catholic Youth League, which is a league out of St. Catharines. It's run through the majority of the churches. So the team that I played for was the St. Denis Saints. Funny enough, actually, you're doing this about the rink there. And my first goal puck for the St. Denis Saints is actually sitting right up there, right on my ice dog stick. So that goal I actually scored in the Jack Gatecliffe for the St. Denis Saints. I would have been about probably 4 or 5 years old, something like that. And yeah, I look back fondly on it. My dad used to coach, and we really had some good times back then. So.
Can you like describe what different hockey teams you played for, like in your youth growing up?
Yeah, so I played at St. Catharines Youth League, like I said. From there, they made sort of like a select hockey team. So we had our CYO select team where we played quite a bit. A lot of my good childhood friends start from that team. And then pretty much as soon as you possibly could, I made the jump to AAA. Started playing AAA in St. Catharines originally for the St. Catharines Sabres, and then later on in our career there, we transitioned over to the Falcons. So I think we would have been probably about Adam when we changed into the St. Catharines Falcons. And then I played for the Falcons right up until my draft year when I was 15. So.
Do you have any like funny or favorite memories you remember about like playing or practicing within like the Garden City Arena during your youth?
Yeah, I just, you know what, the thing that always sticks out in my brain is how cold that rink was for morning practices. Right now it's like you said, February, it's freezing cold outside. And every time I step out in the morning going to work, the first thing I can think about is stepping out in my half-dressed gear with my old man waiting to go to the rink and freeze. So I don't know if that's so much of a happy memory, but it's just, this is the first thing I think about every time. So.
Yep. Do you remember like any differences playing in the Oakville Arena in comparison to like playing in your home rink at the Garden?
Absolutely. Yeah. The Jack Gatecliffe, the neutral zone is so small. And that's the thing. A lot of these teams, they get a lot of speed. They get a lot of really fast players. I think that they got a lot of room to maneuver in the neutral zone. And that was what happened in Oakville. It's an Olympic-sized rink. It's wide. It's big. Puck moves fast, and so do people. But in the Jack Gatecliffe, it's tight, and there's nowhere to go. And, you know, you think you got more room than you do in the neutral zone, and all of a sudden you're running out of space, and a defenseman's stepping up on you, and you don't know where to go. So I enjoyed playing in the Jack for that reason. I also enjoyed playing in the Jack because the way that the benches are set up, if you got the home side where we played, you got the short change twice. But if you are in, anyone who knows hockey knows that when you have the long change, you're in a bit of trouble. And the way that the benches are set up at St. Catharines, you get the long change twice if you're the away team. So you have to skate much further, almost into the offensive zone to get a change. So that actually played into our advantage a lot when we played for both the Ice Dogs and the Falcons in that rink. And we used to use it all the time. You use it to burn the defenseman for a couple breakaways. You use it to hem the other team in the zone. We used to work that rink big time like that.
Is there any other memories, like big or small, you would like to share about your days playing hockey as a kid in St. Catharines?
You know what? I look back so fondly on those memories of all the people that helped us along the way. We had such good volunteers and such good groups of parents and just so many people that were so involved for absolutely no gain for themselves other than just the pure enjoyment of seeing kids that, you know, aren't even their own kids do well. And I look back on just some of these people that helped us when even, you know, in the CYO when we were young or all through AAA, you know, the morning practices, the coaches, all these people that were involved, you know, that just helped us. And I'm so thankful for that now looking back. You don't realize what that takes out of someone's life when you're, you know, 10 years old. But now I'm an adult, you know, with a full-time job. I know what it must be like to get up and go coach a bunch of 12-year-olds in a morning practice. And, you know, to me right now in my life, that to me, I'm like, I don't know if I'd be doing that. But then I sit back and I think about all the people that did it for us and that did it for me specifically. And, you know, you got to give back when you can. And that's what I'd like to do is get into some coaching eventually in my time and try to give back like those people that gave back to us.
Growing up in St. Catharines, did you watch any Junior B Falcon games?
Used to go all the time. That was like Friday nights where that was the thing. If you were a kid, you know, grade 6 to grade 9 sort of thing, you'd go to the Falcons games on Friday night and your parents would drop you off and everybody would be there. And, you know, it was a blast. It was more of a social event than anything. That's where I started going. And then around that same time, the Ice Dogs moved into town. And my family actually was a billet family. So for those of you who don't know what billets are, when you have a player that comes in from out of town, they need a place to live. Obviously, they can't afford to live on their own. And the team doesn't really trust them to live on their own. I mean, why would you? They're 17-year-old kids. So they come and usually live with a family. So at our home here, we had two Ice Dogs back in the day that used to billet with us. And then after they had left, we got one more billet after that. So we were always around hockey. We were always involved. I actually have around here a picture of it's actually funny. So every year you'd get the Ice Dogs would give they'd have like billet night, right? So they would send the billets to the game for free in the Jack, and the family would go out on the ice and they would get a plaque sort of thing given to them by their player. So I actually have mine that I gave to my parents right here on the wall. So as you can see, it says, you know, thanks mom and dad, whatever, whatever. And this is the one from my billet brother from a couple of years prior. So it says, you know, to the Kellys, thanks for everything. Matt Siska, that was one of our old billets. So as you can see, the Ice Dogs sort of keep things pretty much the same. In terms of what they give to the billets, but yeah, so that's just that's something else that, you know, sticks out in my mind every time I think about that.
As a like a billet family, like obviously you had kids around 16, 17, 18 years old. Were any of them like show mentorship at all towards you?
A lot of these guys I still have really good contact with. That photo that I just showed you, Matt, he got married like 3 summers ago, and our whole family was at his wedding. And the Ice Dogs had some really good players at that time. Current NHLer Alex Pietrangelo used to hang out in my basement like 5 days a week. He lived down the street and they were best buddies and they used to hang out all the time. So, you know, guys like that, it's crazy the connections that you make and the people that you meet. And it's just, yeah, I just look back on that time so, so fondly. And if I could go back and relive all the mini stick games in the basement and all that stuff, I would do it over again in a heartbeat.
In the 2010-11 season, while playing for the St. Catharines Falcons U16 AAA team, you played one game with the Junior B Falcon Club. What was that experience like?
Yeah, that was cool. So I would have been 15. So I was in grade 10 in high school. That I actually remember that day, to be honest. But that was sort of the year before your draft year. So, you're trying to make a name for yourself, you know, playing minor midget and stuff like that, or major bantam at the time. And, you know, trying to show people really what you got. And to get the call up to play for the Junior B team at that time was huge for me. I'd always gone to the games. I'd always said to myself, you know, if I could play some form of junior hockey, I'd be happy. So just to get the call at 15 to play Junior B was awesome. And it was really fun. They had a lot of really nice older guys. A lot of guys that I got to meet that year that I got to play with the following year. That was fantastic. I remember being like 15, deer in headlights, like, oh my God, like what's going on in here? Like, you know, the guys are having beers in the room after the game. I'm like, hey, what's going on? But those are things that you know, you look back on now and you realize what a special time that was for me and how much I really, really loved that.
Building on that, could you describe your feelings making the Falcons as a 16-year-old and being a full-time player in the 2011-12 season?
Yeah, that was awesome. When I got drafted to the Ice Dogs, I knew that I wanted to stay home. I knew that I wanted to play my junior hockey in St. Catharines. Now, I went and tried out for the Ice Dogs that year, and they weren't able to keep me on a full-time basis because they already had their two 16-year-olds that they were keeping. However, they wanted to use me as a call-up. So when I was 16, I was super fortunate to make that St. Catharines Falcons team and be able to get called up. We played out of the same arena, so oftentimes I would practice with the Ice Dogs and I keep my gear on and practice after with the Falcons. I go on road trips and things like that with them. So they allowed me to be a part of that team while still being a part of my Falcons team. And I know the question was originally about the Falcons team and being 16, I was one of two guys. Tyler Jackson was the other one who you actually played with as well, playing for the Whalers. The two of us had such a good time there. Every single one of those older guys at St. Catharines, I would still love to have a chat with to this day. They were all like some of the best guys that I've ever met. And some of them I still see all the time. And I'm still fortunate for that. And when you win something like what we won all together, something that no St. Catharines organization's ever done in the 50 or 60 years that they've been a Junior B club, That's something that you just never forget about, and that's something you never can forget about. And I still sit here and a smile comes to my face every time I think about it, because that was the best year of hockey for me that I ever had, was when I was 16 playing for the Falcons, for sure.
In your season opener on, if you remember this, Friday, September 9th, 2011, do you remember the emotions that you had before the game?
I mean, I just remember looking up in the crowd and seeing like 60 of my family members. That's what I remember. I remember everyone that I thought that I knew at that time was in that building. And it's just the most surreal feeling ever, especially in the Jack Aycliffe where everything is so small. The crowd is right on top of you. If they're loud, you feel the vibrations through your feet while you're sitting on the bench. It was just a crazy place to play. And they used to jam like 4,000 people into that arena that probably only sat 2,500. And it would be awesome. It would be crazy. And we used to have the best time ever. And every game felt like the first game when you're playing in that place, because it's just crazy. It's like when you go to an NHL game and you can't hear yourself think. Well, the Jack Aycliffe's like that. Just shrink by 3 or 4 times.
Do you remember when you did get called up to the Ice Dogs during that season for the first time?
Yeah, I do remember. In Junior B, the road trips are 45 minutes maximum, so you take a yellow school bus everywhere. But in the OHL, you take a coach bus, because sometimes you go to the Sault Ste. Marie, it's eight hours, 9 hours, whatever it is. So I remember everywhere you take the coach bus with the big Ice Dog logo on the side. Everybody knows who you are. You know, you get meals before and after the game, you get, you know, movies and all that kind of stuff, satellite TV on the bus. So you can obviously see, you know, that there is a bit of a step up in terms of financials and things like that when you go from Junior B to the OHL. That's definitely for sure.
Were there any other differences, would you say, between playing for the Ice Dogs in comparison to playing for the Falcons, especially when you were a rookie?
Yeah, the Ice Dogs crowd was always just a little bit more full. You'd always have a sellout when the Ice Dogs were playing. When the Falcons were playing, we'd still get a lot of fans, but it'd still be around 1,000, maybe 1,200, something like that. When we were in the Sutherland Cup, though, we did sell the building out for sure. But I definitely did notice that there were a little bit less fans, so the building wouldn't be as loud. But it was still loud. Even with 1,000 people, you'd still hear them. That's for sure.
When did you score your first goal as an Ice Dog, and what was that feeling like?
I scored quite possibly the worst first goal in the history of the league, I think. I was standing at the blue line. I took a wrist shot. I think it skipped twice like a rock on water and found its way through. But with that being said, my dad has a habit of keeping all of my stuff. So this is my... I can flip the camera around here and show you. This is my first goal puck here, along with the ticket stub from the game. So it's I scored my first one on December 15th, 2011, in a 7-0 win. Those are usually the games that I scored in. This is the one, and it sits up here on top of right on top of this stick that you could see. That's signed by the team that I played with. So. Some notable NHLers on there right now would be Ryan Strome, Dougie Hamilton, Brett Ritchie, some guys like that. Those are the probably the most notable NHLers on the list there. Oh, sorry, Carter Verhaeghe also would be on that sheet as well. He's doing pretty well right now too. So it was again awesome time.
Because you got called up and back and down as a 16-year-old. I just meant.
You're talking about okay.
So as a 16-year-old, yeah.
No, it's all good. So the way that it works when you're 16 playing in the OHL is you can only play 10 games before they have to sign you to a full-time card. Now, they were making a run deep into the playoffs that year. They actually won the Eastern Conference Final that year. And they didn't have enough room to keep me on the roster full-time without signing me. So I played my 10 games. And then once those 10 games were up, they had to send me back to the Falcons. So after I played those 10, they said, okay, you're done, basically. Time to go back. So then they sent me back. I still practice with them all the time because it's good to have a couple extra bodies out there. So I'd still practice all the time, and I would still go to games in a suit, you know, sit in the stands, whatever. But that was when I went back to the Falcons. But to be honest, that was sort of a blessing in disguise because our Falcons team was great that year too. And we won the Sutherland Cup. And I actually played quite a large role in that Sutherland Cup. I played every game. I had quite a few points. I played a lot. So that was fortunate for me that I got a taste of some real serious playoff hockey. A lot of those junior B teams at the time would have OHL guys that would come down. We had probably five or six of them just on our team. So really, you're playing against some pretty high-end talent in a really serious hockey setting. And that was great for me because, to be honest with you, had I played for the Ice Dogs that 16-year-old year, I wouldn't have seen much ice. And I wouldn't have gotten I wouldn't have gotten much better and comfortable in those situations moving forward. The Falcons gave me that opportunity to play in that sort of, you know, third, fourth defenseman role where, you know, I'm running the second power play and I'm playing, you know, maybe 20 minutes a night, 22 minutes a night. So you're getting out there a lot and getting a lot of, and I mean, you know, as a player, the more you play, the better you play, in my opinion. And I was fortunate enough when I got sent down from the Ice Dogs as a 16-year-old that I was able to play.
What memories do you remember about the regular season during your rookie campaign?
Playing for the Ice Dogs or the Falcons?
Oh, the Falcons.
What I remember about the regular season, I remember that we always played on the weekend. So I remember you always had to play Friday night at home at St. Catharines, always. And then usually you'd play Saturday against one of the various teams in the league. And then if you played on Sunday, you had to play Welland in the afternoon, 2:00 all the time. I remember the schedule being like Groundhog Day. It's like every week it's the same thing over and over. Monday off, Tuesday practice, Wednesday practice, Thursday practice, game on Friday. I remember that like it was like Groundhog Day. Like every day was the same over and over and over again, which is good. I like routine. I like getting into the same routine, knowing what I'm doing day in and day out and doing it over and over and over again. I think that it's an easy way to go about your days. So I remember that. I also remember the regular season feeling like it was a good length. Like we played 51 games, I think, in a regular season. So, or maybe 49, something like that. But I remember it being a good number. I remember feeling like, you know, that's a lot of games, but it still feels good. I remember the 68-game OHL season feeling like a marathon. But the 49 or whatever it was in Junior B was a good number.
Before we get into the playoffs part of that year, can you just briefly explain how the Golden Horseshoe playoffs work and how like the Sutherland Cup works as well?
Yeah. So let's say there's eight teams in the Golden Horseshoe. So there's within the Junior B hockey in Ontario, there's three separate divisions. So there's sort of like a central division. It's kind of like Kitchener, Waterloo, sort of teams in that area. Then there's sort of like a Western division, which is like Elmira, London, Sarnia, Stratford, Strathroy, those teams, they're sort of out there. And then there's a Golden Horseshoe, which is sort of southern. So that was us. That's Welland, Thorold, Niagara Falls, St. Catharines, Fort Erie, Ancaster, Caledonia. So basically, once you win your league, you go into the Sutherland Cup. So the year that we won the Sutherland Cup, the winner of each league, you had to play everybody twice. So there was a round robin. You played everybody twice. And then the top two teams then played for the Sutherland Cup. That's how it worked when we won it. So we won our league. We beat out Port Colborne in the final. It's actually funny. So Terry's team, the Niagara Falls Canucks that year, we never beat them. So you played each team seven times in the regular season that year. We lost to the Canucks seven times. And we never played them in the playoffs. And we never beat them. So we won the entire thing without beating one team, which is funny. So we ended up winning our league. The Brantford Golden Eagles won their league. And then the London Nationals won their league. So we had to play a sort of like a two-game series with those guys, which ended up going into a sudden-death game that we had to play in to get into the final against Brantford. So we beat London in the sudden-death game. And then we went and played against Brantford in the final, and we ended up beating them in six games. And we won the Sutherland Cup in St. Catharines on home soil. Yeah, but that's basically how the playoffs works. So,
can you describe what it was like playing in the playoffs, particularly in the Garden City Arena?
Loud. Like, you couldn't hear yourself think. You could barely talk to the guy sitting next to you. If coach is trying to get a word to the guys down the bench, you can barely hear anybody, like, loud, and the fans are on top of you. The stands are very steep and inclined, and it feels like the fans, when they're yelling at you, they're right on top of you. And it was just so much fun. Like, Just fun. That's all it was.
As a rookie, did your playing style change at all when you were in the playoffs, especially when you were playing in the Garden City Arena?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, play style definitely changes in the Garden City Arena. You got to get rid of the puck quick or you're going to get hammered. These guys, they're huge, and they fly around really fast, and there's not a lot of time, and there's not a lot of space. So if you got the puck on your stick for too long, you're going to get smoked. And especially as a 16-year-old, I'm a lot heavier now, but at the time, I was probably, 5'11", maybe 180. So when you've got, 6'2", 6'3", 225-pound men barreling down on you, you got to get rid of that puck faster. You're not going to play many more shifts. So that was sort of the only thing that I think of that changed with my game, is that I got rid of the puck a lot quicker, and I didn't spend as much time looking down at the puck, that's for sure.
I know you touched on this a little bit, but can you describe what it was like winning the Sutherland Cup at home versus Brantford in the Garden City Arena with an astonishing 1,851 fans in attendance?
Yeah, so crazy. We had won, we touched on it earlier, but we won the OMHAs when I was in minor Bantam. And then 2 years later, I find myself winning the Sutherland Cup. So in my head, I'm thinking, this winning thing, it's whatever. It happens all the time. And I remember the older guys sitting there, 16-year-old. I remember listening to some of the older guys saying, you have no idea what's going on here. You don't know how hard this is to do again. You don't have a clue. And they're like, trust me, you'll get it one day. One day you'll get it, but you don't understand. And at the time, I didn't understand. I thought, we just have a very good team, and every year we're going to have a good team, and every year we're going to win, and that's all it is. And that was not the case at all. But that first year that we won, I look back on it and I think now, wow, how lucky were we to do that? No team in St. Catharines has ever won, dating back all the way to the 50s, and no team to this day has ever won. A couple finalists. I've been to the finals twice, and only no, I've been to the finals three times. I've only won once. So you can get there, but to win it, it's a whole other can of worms. So.
As a player former player for the Niagara Ice Dogs, do you think the Garden City Arena is a suitable arena for an OHL team?
I think that the way that the game is trending, the way that the game of hockey in general is trending, I think the bigger ice just breeds more skill. And I think that, I think that the way that the game is trending, I think that you need to see these players on bigger ice for them to showcase their talent. And, some of the things that you're seeing some of these guys do coming up now, I'm like, geez, if a guy came down and did that on me when I was playing, I don't even know what I would do. I'd still be spinning in a circle probably. So to me, I think that the move to the Meridian Center was a good move in terms of the development of the player. However, with that being said, being someone who played in that arena, I can tell you that there's nothing like the feeling of the crowd in that arena. I've been to an Ice Dog game in the Meridian Center now. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's fantastic. The facility is beautiful, and they do a great job of putting on the production. But the just the acoustics alone in that arena were crazy. The noise, the foghorn that would play when you would score, you'd feel like it would echo for 10 more minutes. It's such a neat place to play, and such a crazy place to play if you'd never played there. People would come in and they'd say, "Well, how do you guys play here all year?" And you would realize that when a guy says that to you, it means he really doesn't like it. So that means that someone's doing something right.
From an Ice Dogs perspective, what was it like sharing the rink with the Falcons?
It was usually pretty fine because the Ice Dogs would practice usually around 2 o'clock. So then they'd be off the ice by 4. And then usually we started practice around 5. St. Catharines always practiced a little bit later into the evening. It was just the way it worked for guys with school and schedules and things like that. It always worked better. The Ice Dogs, we got a little bit of time at the end of our school day to get out of class to go to practice. So it didn't really work, too badly that way. The only issue that we used to have was Thursday nights used to be Ice Dog home nights. And that was usually our day before the game skate. And because the Ice Dogs would be playing that night, they didn't want anybody on the ice. Because they had to spray paint the logos and things like that. So, remember, the only inconvenience was we'd have to go practice in the small rink beside us. That was about the only inconvenience sharing an arena. Other than that, you barely noticed them. We were on one side, they were on the other side. So you really never bump into them, and you're not really at the rink at the same times. So sharing a rink was not a big deal at all.
Out of all your games played with the Ice Dogs, is there any like memory on or off the ice that stands out to you the most?
Playing for the Ice Dogs, the game that I scored my first goal definitely would be the game that stands out for me. I remember it. I was a 16-year-old call-up. It was my third game. It was my third game and my first game at home. So it was the first game I ever played in the Jack, and I scored a two-hopper from the blue line off some stroke of luck that just happened to find its way in. I don't remember anything after the puck went in. Like, I've seen a video of it a million times, and I couldn't tell you what I was doing, who I was celebrating to, what I was up to. But I just remember the feeling of just pure joy and elation, and the feeling of like going to so many games and seeing so many goals before, and then finally being the guy to do it. It really a feeling like no other.
Did you know that you were going to come back and play for the Falcons, or was this something that was like a split decision, or was your mind made up at all?
Yeah, so Frank Gurney at the time was my minor midget coach. Then he was the coach of the Falcons when I was 16, and then he was also still the coach of the Falcons when I came back when I was 18. So him and I had a good relationship. You know, we would talk all the time. He assured me that when I left the Ice Dogs, I would have a spot with the Falcons full time, and that I would get my, you know, guaranteed playing time and all that kind of stuff. And he was true to his word on that front, for sure. He was, you know, always fair on the hockey side, and gave me the opportunity to come back and play on another very, very good team. When I came back from the Falcons and when I came back from the Ice Dogs and rejoined the Falcons when I was 18, I came back to another team that was similar to my 16-year-old year team. We had a bunch of guys that had just come back from the OHL. We had a lot of really good players, a lot of high-end talent, and we again went to the Sutherland Cup final and lost in overtime in Game 7. Of that Sutherland Cup final, I think out of 7 games, 5 of them went to overtime. So that was probably the best year of hockey I had in terms of competition hockey. That was crazy. We had so many battles that year with everybody.
You were quoted by the 48 Times on November 6, 2013, stating, "I have never worn anything else except red, white, and black." If you remember saying this at all, what aspects of playing for the Falcons made you so proud to say a statement like that?
Well, just that, you know, that first year we solidified ourselves as one of the premier junior clubs in all of Ontario. And growing up in St. Catharines, playing for St. Catharines my whole life, it was just always something I took pride in. I always took pride in wearing the Falcon on my chest, and when it was the Sabre, the same thing. So that's why, and it's true. I mean, I played all, you know, 400 some odd junior hockey games in the Jack Aycliffe Arena. I never played in anything other than those colors. Even the Falcons and the Ice Dogs are pretty similar in color. So, those words are definitely true. And it's definitely something that makes me proud saying that I played there.
As a former player, do you believe like the Garden City Arena gives the Falcons any sort of like home field advantage versus opposing teams?
100%. 100%. Anyone who knows that rink knows that the one end of the boards, the puck bounces off it funny. Anyone knows that neutral zone is small. Anyone knows that the glass is short on the sides. You know that if you're the away team, you have the long change twice, like I mentioned before. So there's tons and tons and tons of strategic advantage that I could sit. If you gave me a schematic of the arena, I could sit here for an hour and I could show you all the different ins and outs. But there's certain places, you know, when you're a defenseman, if you rim the puck up the one side of the boards, the puck's going to kick right out into the high slot because the boards are off by a half inch. And, you know, there's just things like that where when you're in the same old rink like that all the time, there's little nuances and little advantages that you can play to your side. And you can make work really well for you.
Do old arenas such as Garden City Arena make a team play like a certain type of way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can't carry the puck through the neutral zone in the Jack Aycliffe. You have to dump it in. You have no choice. It's just there's not enough room. And because the blue line and the red line, the distance is so short that by the time you get to the red line, that defenseman can step up from the blue line and he's basically on top of you. So the teams would have to change the way that they played. They'd have to turn into a lot more of a dump and chase game. They'd have to work hard. They'd have to come into St. Catharines and outwork us. And that's basically what they had to do. And a lot of teams, they would just sort of give up after we get a couple goals on it because they knew We get the long change. We got to come all the way down here. We got to battle all the way back just to get the puck out and get a change is hard enough, let alone go down and play offense. So, yeah, there's definitely tons of that.
Regarding the notion of junior B hockey being very, like, physical type of hockey in comparison to other leagues, would you, like, agree or disagree with that statement?
I'd agree. I'd say junior B hockey, when I started, was very physical. There was a lot of fighting, very physical, when I first started. And as I progressed through junior B, it became less of that and more skilled. Whereas now they wear cages in the league as mandatory. So when I played, you had to wear a visor, or you didn't have to, but most people wore a visor. Now they wear cages. So it's a little bit different. I find that a lot of the, you know, the fighting and things like that has left the league. And I think that that's a good thing. I don't think that, you know, stage fighting should be a part of hockey. I believe that if a fight happens naturally the way that they do in the game of hockey, then fine, let it be. But I don't think that, you know, two guys saying, hey, let's go off the draw and then taking off gloves, helmets and shoulder pads. I don't think that that's also good for the game of hockey. It's not a fighting game. It's a hockey game. So I think that, you know, I think that the game of junior B particularly has gotten not as physically demanding, but I would say it's still physically demanding. I go to a game or two every year, and those guys are still out there working hard, throwing hits. They're doing all the things. I've seen a couple of fights. It happens. So the game's definitely tough, but it's a little bit less in terms of the fisticuffs as when I first started. That's for sure.
What memories do you recall from the games leading up to the Sutherland Cup final versus Caledonia?
Which year? We played them.
20. Yeah, I know. You played them like 3 years in a row.
We played them 3 years in a row, 18, 19, 20. And the guys that owned that Caledonia team that we played 3 years in a row owned the team that we beat when we were 16. So we played against basically the same team 4 years in a row.
The 2013-2014 playoffs.
I just remember going into those games thinking that like we are the exact same team and it's just going to come down to a matter of bounces to see who wins. Like I had mentioned to you, going into the playoffs, playing against, you know, those Caledonia teams and things like that. I think when we played Caledonia in the Sutherland Cup final, I think I know we played all seven, and I know that at least three or four of them went to overtime for sure. That just showed you really how tight the games were. I myself know I scored the game winner in game four in double overtime in the Jack. And then game six, my buddy scored the winner in triple overtime in the Jack. So those games were just always tight like that. Always close, always just battles.
Just to bring up, when you scored the overtime winner, there was 1,254 fans in the arena that night, which is well above the average, as you probably know. What was it like when you scored that goal?
I remember coming down the ice, cutting to the right, closing my eyes and shooting like I always do. And then I just remember hearing a horn. And then I don't think I opened my eyes until I got into the dressing room, because I don't remember. Just guys piled all over me and it was crazy. And the horn's going off and the fans are going nuts. And my buddies were all up in the corner right beside where I scored. And yeah, that was crazy. That's probably, in terms of hockey memories and goals that I've scored, that's the most memorable by a landslide. For sure.
You were named captain of the St. Catharines Falcons. I have a little photo here.
Funny, I'm looking at the same one.
What emotions did you have when you found out the news?
It was a big honor for me, and a big honor for me and my family. You know, as St. Catharines residents, people who always went to the games, you know, playing for the Falcons was something that I thought at one time, you know, I'd just be fortunate enough just to put on the jersey, let alone be the captain. So when Frank approached me to be the captain as a 19-year-old, that was huge for me. That sort of solidified to me, you know, that I belonged in a leadership role on the team. It showed that the coaching staff and all the management, all the people in the front office had faith in me, you know, to lead the team where we needed to go. And I was just super fortunate to have worn it for 2 years and super thankful, really.
Do you believe junior B hockey teams have been making maybe less money in recent times?
I would think so. I mean, speaking for St. Catharines, as soon as the Ice Dogs moved in, the attendance drops by half. Obviously, you want to go see the premier hockey in the city, and the Ice Dogs is that. So, I mean, you can't really fault them. But at the same time, It's got to be tough. It's really got to be tough. As well, I just don't think that people are too keen on watching Junior B hockey anymore. The problem that you'll find is that when you bring in a team like the Ice Dogs, it doesn't just take away from St. Catharines' viewership. It takes away from the Falls. It takes away from Thorold. It takes away from Welland. So you've got all of these fans who would like to go watch hockey, but let's say that they can only afford to get out one night a week, or they only have time to get out one night a week. Well, they're going to go watch the Premier League. That's why the NHL sells out the building and the American League doesn't. And it makes total sense. So you can't really fault anybody for wanting to do that. However, I do think that the OHL teams moving in does damper the Junior B attendance a little bit. Yeah.
There seems to be some sort of special connection between the Falcons and the fans. Why do you think that is?
I just think it's time. I think that a lot of these Falcons fans have been going for so long, and they just have such a deep connection with the team, whether it's, you know, their son or their brother or their cousin, or someone knows always someone that played Junior B for the Falcons, or you know, they know someone involved, and that's a part of the St. Catharines community. It's the biggest small city in the world, in my opinion, and everybody knows everybody, and everybody knows somebody that's involved in the Falcons. So I think that's why it's so special for the fans, is that they really do have a deep-seated connection with the Junior B club.
Now, looking back on your Junior B career, what memories do you think stand out to you the most, little or small?
Winning the Sutherland Cup is definitely the biggest one that stands out. I mean, that one, just a feeling you'll never forget, faces I'll never forget, just, yeah, all things like that. And then my first game wearing the captaincy, that was just a huge deal for me. My whole family was in the stands. Something that made, you know, myself and all the people around me really proud. And it's a fond memory that I will cherish forever, and I will never forget.
When was the last time you went and watched the Falcon game?
I went to a game last year, when they were in the playoffs last year, but I did not go to a game this year, unfortunately. Didn't, no. But I would like to. But yeah, this year I didn't go. But last year I was there. So,
would you say there's any like major differences between the game that you watched and when you played?
Cages for sure. When I played, everyone wore a visor, and now all these guys are wearing cages. So that was the biggest difference that I noticed. Other than that, everything looked pretty much similar. Speed of the game still looked great, still physical, still a lot of good skill out there. The only thing that I would like to see is them put the visors back on, but keep them out safe and wear the cages, they'll be all right.
Smell can make you recollect certain memories. I know it's sort of a weird question, but do you remember by any chance the St. Catharines Falcon locker room and the smell of it? And does that make you remember any certain memories or anything?
I think I'm happy that I don't remember the smell of it, to be honest, because it just smells like gear and sweat and, yeah, beer. But, you know what? It's like every time you go into a locker room, it smells the same every time, and it brings back memories every time for me of just good memories, of happy times, of just always having fun. And that's the biggest thing for me is throughout hockey, I've always made sure that I've been able to have fun. And that's the most important thing. I always just make sure I was always just having fun. And then that's the thing that I just remember. It's just so much fun.
All right. Well, thank you very much for sharing your memories and opinion here today with me. That was really like an awesome interview.